Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We are in chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25, beginning in verse 19. This is God's word. This is the account of Abraham's son Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean from Padan Aram, and sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment, so they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out, with his hand grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." That is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Lots of lessons here, but the first one is God had promised that he was going to make Abraham's descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore. He made that promise to a man whose wife couldn't have children. And God made them wait until finally, when humanly speaking, there was no hope, God gave them laughter, Isaac. Now, God has said it is through Isaac that the promises concerning your descendants will be fulfilled. It's going to happen through him. Isaac doesn't get married until he's 40 years old. But once he gets married, they're ready to have kids. And it's not happening. 10 years go by. Hasn't happened. At what point do you think Isaac began to pray for his wife? I'm guessing he did not wait 20 years. But he prayed for his wife. And after they'd been married for 20 years, God answered that prayer and gave them twins. He didn't give them 10 children. He gave them one pregnancy. And that one pregnancy was twins. And I want us to think for just a moment about how long 20 years is. When you are waiting for something, it seems like a long time. God understands that. And yet, part of what he does over and over and over and over and over and over and over is make us wait. Because we need to. It's good for us. But it's difficult. It's not fun. It's not supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be purifying. It's supposed to remind us that we're not in control, that we can't just make things happen. By golly, I'm gonna get out there and I'm just gonna make things happen. Well, you can make some things happen, but there's a whole lot of stuff, generally the things you want most, that you cannot make happen. And so the sooner that you realize, okay, I'm not in charge of the universe, God is. In fact, I'm not really in charge of my own life. I'm responsible for my decisions, but I want to submit my life to God. I want him to be in charge. I don't want him doing what I say. I want to do what he says. When you learn to live that way, you are nearing the end of the journey, okay? Time will go more quickly after that because you realize God's got a plan. This is part of God's plan. So, when these babies were finally conceived, after decades of waiting, there was something going on inside. She's thinking, is this normal? I mean, it feels like my baby is fighting with himself. Well, he wasn't. He was fighting with his brother. So Rebekah asked the Lord, do you see that? Please notice that verse. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord. What do you do when you're wondering what's going on? Do you just wonder, or do you ask the one who knows everything? Do you inquire of the Lord? That doesn't do any good. Yes, the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other and the older will serve the younger. How'd God know that? Well, God knows everything. God's in charge of everything. God knows the end from the beginning. God has a purpose and a plan. You and I need to realize that we can live our lives stupidly trying to manage what we can see based on what we know, or that we can go to the one who knows everything, including the future, and say, what would you have me do? And so we need to make our decisions not based on God giving us stock tips and then we know what to do, but based on the fact that God says, do this and live. Well, I mean, but God does want me to prosper, doesn't he? Define the word prosper. So God said, this is what's going to happen. There are two nations in your womb. Well, I thought it was crowded with twins. God sees the future. And so God told Rebekah, there are two nations in your womb. Two peoples from within you will be separated. So this is not going to be like, you know, all the family reunions with it. No, this is not going to be that kind of family. These twins are going to end up going in different directions. One people will be stronger than the other. They're not going to be equal. And the older will serve the younger. That is not the norm. That is not the cultural expectation. That is the plan of God for these twins. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. And the first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. Now, how hairy was Harry? Well, some years later, in order to disguise the one who wasn't Harry as his brother, who was Harry, Mama put goat skins on his arms so that when Dad, who was blind, checked his arms and felt the skin of a goat, his dad would think, yep, that's my boy Esau. So when it says here his whole body was like a hairy garment, that's what they're talking about. That guy's an animal. Yep. Well, Jacob comes out holding on to Esau's heel. And so they say his name is One Who Grasps the Heel. That is what Jacob means. My name, by the way, is James, which is the anglicized version of Jacob or Jacob. Got it? All our names have meaning.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So he was named Jacob because he was grasping Esau's heel, and Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. So 20-year wait, and then twins are born, and the boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter. Notice the word became. Esau became a skillful hunter. Did you know that there are some things that you could do if you would become this? I can't even remember if it turns out to be true or an urban legend, but my recollection is that the basketball great Michael Jordan was either not able to make the team or was cut from the team when he was in like junior high or high school. Okay? True story. People verifying, yes, that is true. Michael Jordan, this fabulous basketball player, couldn't make the team when he was young. So what did he do? He became great at it. Esau became a skillful hunter. If at first you don't succeed, try again. If it's something that God is leading you to do. Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country. He's always out there somewhere hunting, and he brings home great stuff. Jacob, on the other hand, was a quiet man staying among the tents. You want to go with me, bud? You want to go with me? No, thanks. I'll just stay back here. I have some ideas for some new dishes I'm going to cook up with Mom. Okay? Oh, was Jacob kind of a sissy? Not necessarily. He's going to turn out to be very good at wrestling later in the book of Genesis. But he was a quiet man. And he preferred to be at home than to be out there in the open country. Is that legit? Yeah, totally legit. So the bad thing is to be a skillful hunter out there in the open country. No, that's not bad either. Perfectly fine. Gentlemen, understand that being a manly man doesn't mean you have to be a hunter. And being a hunter doesn't mean that you have to be adult. What's adult? Somebody who doesn't have a brain. Okay? Masculinity has to do with character more than characteristics. Save that for another sermon. Once Jacob was cooking some stew, and Esau came in from the open country famished. And he said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." That's the other reason he was called Edom, which is red. Jacob replied, "First sell me your birthright." Why would he say that? Why didn't he just say, "Sure, bro, did you get anything?" Because he'd been wanting his brother's birthright for some time. And his mom may have said to him, "You know, God told me before you were born that you're going to be the one that Esau's going to work for someday." But he wanted his brother's birthright. Why? What's the birthright? The birthright is the firstborn son gets a double share of the inheritance. Doesn't mean that the second child doesn't get anything. It just means the bulk of the estate goes to the firstborn son. Jacob says, "I want your share of the inheritance. First, sell me your birthright." Esau responds, "Forget it, man. I'm going to go cook a rabbit." No. He says, "Look, I'm about to die. What good is the birthright to me?" This is called no appreciation for what you have because you cannot endure waiting on delayed gratification. What does that mean? It means waiting till later to get what you want. Have you seen the video of the experiment done with little kids where they say, you know, they put the treat right in front of them and they say, "Now don't eat that now. If you'll leave that there, when we come back, we'll give you more." And then the adults go out of the room. And the kids look at each other and it's like, why? Because I can see this right now. I can reach this right now. I'm going to get this right now because I want pleasure now. If you do that, you rob yourself of future benefit. My sister-in-law has a charitable organization that worked with people in a, I'll just say another country, I won't say which continent, worked with people in another country that were suffering from poverty and malnutrition. And her organization not only provided them with food, but provided them with the construction of a chicken coop where they could have hens that would lay eggs so that they would have ongoing food. Sounds like a good plan, doesn't it? They would have enough eggs not only to take care of the children and the staff, but they would actually have enough eggs to have income. They could sell the eggs to other people in the community who also needed food. Great plan. Within the year, the people they gave the chickens to had eaten all the chickens. And they wanted more. And the answer was no. Why would we take what people sacrifice to give you so that you can't even say no to yourself? You really love that person? You want to marry them? You want to have their child? Wait until you're married. Delayed gratification. But I want pleasure now. You're going to rob yourself, and you're going to rob the person you say you love. Wait. 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 First, sell me your birthright. Look, I'm about to die. Was he about to die? No, he was extremely hungry. I'm famished. Okay, you're famished. That means really hungry. I'm about to die. What good is my birthright if I'm dead? Give it to me now. That's Esau. Hebrews chapter 12, 15 and 16. See to it that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. You got that? Paul warns in Philippians, verse 18 of chapter 3, he says, "For as I've often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things." You see, they are so focused on getting what they want now, they are failing to look toward the future and realize what God has promised to those who love and serve him. Which describes you? Are you living this life with an eye toward eternity, or are you just doing what seems like it's going to feel good now? "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. What does that mean? After he had done this deal and he finally got the food that he thought he had to have right then in order to live, does he express regret? Nah, because his word doesn't really mean anything to him. The future is not what he's interested in. He's living for the now. How are you going to live your life? Thinking about in the moment? What feels good now? You'll throw your life away. I plead with you to realize that God has a plan. And if you trust him and do what he says, you will find that saying no to your appetites now makes it possible for you to enjoy what God has prepared for your future.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.